It's really clear the authors of the bill have no idea what they're talking about. They do not understand the marketplace. They don't understand how it works. I would argue, and this gets me into trouble and people really don't like when I say it, Amazon's not a monopoly. Grow up. It's not a monopoly. You can buy all the products on Amazon going down to your local Walmart and Target. It is not a monopoly.
Welcome to the Amazon Files podcast, brought to you by Mommy Income, where we help others start and scale businesses on Amazon by taking small, consistent steps. Here is your host, Kristen Ostrander, a 17-year e-commerce veteran who knows a thing or two about building a seven-figure Amazon empire from the comfort of her own home. Surrounded by three energetic kids and a hunky husband, she still has an insatiable desire to see others succeed.
Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of the Amazon Files, brought to you by Mommy Income. I am your host, Kristen Ostrander, and today we have a special guest. She comes on every quarter. Her name is Leslie Hensel, and she is from Riverbend Consulting. She provides us with quarterly updates for Amazon news and compliance and policies, things you need to know to be able to grow your business. So make sure that you are tuning in every quarter when you hear that Leslie's going to be on, because this is stuff you really, really need to know. So when it comes to the different policies and plans and news and things like that, you want to make sure that you are in the know, because all of this stuff affects you and your business. But before we get to Leslie, I have a very special announcement for all of you friends. Workshops are now open for 2022. I'm going to be in Atlanta teaching a workshop for America's Mart in January of 2022. Yes, the workshops are back. So I would love for you to be able to come to a workshop. Of course, we do the meet and greet party on Friday night, the workshop itself on Saturday. And then the Sunday, we do a trade show walkthrough with America's Mart and all those things. So be sure that you are paying attention to that. This year actually is, I think, going to be Thursday, Friday, Saturday instead of Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So make sure that you're paying attention to that. My apologies for messing that up. But anyway, the 13th through the 15th in January, mommyincome.com/workshop. I would love to be able to see you and meet you at a workshop in 2022. Very excited. So mommyincome.com/workshop. Make sure that you get in there. And here's just a little bit about our host today. She is the co-founder and owner of Riverbed Consulting, where she oversees a firm of clients and services for Amazon sellers. She leverages two decades of small business consulting advice on profitability and operations. She's been an Amazon seller for over a decade, and she stops at nothing to help personally hundreds of clients to comply with Amazon's policies, to get their ASINs and their accounts back up and running, prevent suspension, and also offers like client management opportunities and Amazon management software. So please welcome Leslie Hensel to the show. Leslie, I'm so glad you're back. Welcome again to the Amazon Files. I know you're always on here like probably 3-4 times a year, and we love to see your wonderful face and have you on. So welcome.
Thank you so much. It's one of my favorite places to be. We always have so much fun.
Oh, fun. Of course we have fun, right? We say that in quotes because this stuff, you guys, let's be honest, is not the funnest to talk about, but it's necessary to protect and grow our business. And if we're going to be doing with business with Amazon, there's always changes and updates and policies and compliance and all these sexy words that we have to constantly talk about. So let's just dive right in. Of course, the newest and biggest thing, well, maybe not the biggest, but one of the newest things is Amazon is really kind of cracking down on is insurance. So bring us up to date on the newest insurance issues and what your major suggestions are for compliance.
So I hope everyone has already uploaded their insurance certificate into their seller central, because if not, you're already asking for trouble. So they have always required you to have insurance over a certain amount of sales, which is actually quite small. Everyone should have insurance. You just needed it, because there are people out there will complain about things, will say they were hurt by a product, whatever it might be, whether you think you're at fault or not, you need insurance, because insurance essentially gets you a loan. So that, all of that being said, because the insurance company did it themselves, so they become, Amazon is saying you have to upload your certificate that you have insurance. Now, are they doing anything to people who aren't uploading their certificate? Yes, they are. So we have seen a few clients come in who Amazon has said, hey, where's that insurance certificate uploaded in X number of dates? And if you do not, they threaten to shut down your account. Now, I haven't seen them shut down an account yet, probably because it's a USOP. I'm sure that they will get around to it. I would also bet that they're going to get faster and better at reaching out to people who have not uploaded their insurance certificates. I would bet right now that they probably have some kind of an algorithm-based computer program that is looking at the insurance certificates, and they have people working with that AI to teach it how to know if an insurance certificate is good or not, because they need a broad range of these for the AI to look at. And then over time, it's going to find the ones that are fake or that it's just a random piece of paper someone uploaded and that they can later say, oh, that was fake. So just get it done, get your insurance, upload it, and then you're not going to have a problem.
Awesome. And the minimum requirements are all spelled out there as far as, I heard a couple things. One is that it depends on your level of sales. Other things, it's just like there's this blanket amount and you can choose how much coverage to have, but there's a minimum amount of coverage for liability.
Yes, you really want to go to an insurance provider. Understand, if you don't want to just go to a random business insurance provider, most of them will not talk to you. So you need to find someone who knows Amazon, because they already know what all these minimum requirements are, because they've been writing policies like crazy to cover this right now. So they're going to make sure that you actually have the correct minimums of coverage. Also, just be prepared. If you sell topicals or supplements, your insurance would be expensive.
Expensive. Let's just define that really quickly. So say your average policy is about $800 a year or so to kind of cover your basic minimums from Amazon. Are you talking double or triple for these types of things, or even more than that?
Yeah, I'm talking $2,500 to $4,000.
Yeah, this is a reason why I don't sell anything in some of these categories that are really high liability. Because if someone can eat it or put it on their body like topical, I'm away from that, because I don't want anybody getting sick or getting, you know, dead because they put something on their arm that then, you know, swole up and who knows. So I try to stay away from those things.
There is something you can do if you have a relationship with the manufacturer. So if you're not just buying product RA or whatever, if you actually are buying directly from a manufacturer and they want you to be selling on Amazon, they want authorized sellers on Amazon, you get them to write as part of the contract that if there are any claims against you for product liability, that they will take over those claims, that those will be assigned to them and they will take them over and they indemnify you from those claims as an authorized reseller. So if you're an authorized reseller actually on just about anything, try and get that in your contract that they will indemnify you from claims.
Yeah, you guys, mic drop. We could literally walk away and have that right now, because some of these people, honestly, a lot of them may not even like read that, or they think, okay, this is not that big of a deal, and they'll just kind of sign it and move along. How many times have we all done that, not reading terms of service? Well, if you didn't read your Amazon terms of service, good luck with that, because there's a lot of things you can do or won't be able to do. But that's great advice. I really appreciate that too, because then if you do sell things like topicals or say somebody else's baby product, that, you know, baby products are highly recalled for all kinds of different reasons. So if you sell anything that has to do with people under the age of one or even three, maybe making sure that you have one of those clauses in there that you work with them and that they take full responsibility for the manufacturing. Because if you're part of the supply chain, you are liable. And hence the reason Amazon wants you to have insurance because of these reasons. They don't want to be sued for something. And of course, you don't either. So keep passing the buck to the manufacturer.
Then it's amen.
Yes. I didn't make this product. I just put it on Amazon. So somebody else is liable. Okay. So when it comes to insurance and liability and that sort of thing, bundlers. So of course, you know, most of us are bundlers. So you're taking two or three different products from different manufacturers, putting it in a bundle, but I'm putting my brand on this. Kristen's Favorite Things provides this gift set. So at that point, the liability then belongs to the brand, which would then be me. And so at that point, is there a way to pass the buck, because I didn't actually manufacture everything in the box, just the branded box and the vessel by which it shipped?
Probably not. That's a really great legal question. I would bet there is, because of the way it's being sold, the way it's being presented on Amazon. So the person who's suing is going to be basing it on the way that they purchased.
Fair enough. So if you're bundling and you're using your own bundle brand, which I hope you all are, because that's what you've been taught, then the liability is more going to be on you. I think in a court of law, there can definitely be some distinguishing between the products, knowing that you didn't physically manufacture every single thing in that box, including, you know, bubble wrap and whatever else. But the reality is, if you're putting your manufactured by or branded by you, you are going to take the heap of the liability in this particular case. So just be aware of that and get enough coverage to foresee something like that if it were to be the case.
Absolutely. And really, the minimums that Amazon has are completely reasonable. I would recommend, though, that if you're a seller on Amazon, you also personally buy an umbrella insurance policy. Umbrella insurance is one of the best deals in the insurance world. Usually, you go to whoever's already writing insurance or car insurance, and you tell them you want an umbrella policy, $1-3 million. Not going to cost you that much. It'll be a few bucks. And that is just in case you ever do have some kind of a product liability suit that goes beyond your business insurance after your personal asset. If you're a sole or an LLC and they're able to pierce that, maybe because you're the sole owner, the personal liability attaches. An umbrella insurance policy will keep people from taking all of your personal assets away because that $1 there, that's going to help.
Okay, so having this umbrella policy, you said $1-3 million just overall to protect your personal assets, because some people think just because you have an LLC means that everything's protected, but you just never know. Can you afford in your personal assets to give away your house and your cars and your cottage up north and, you know, your dogs and cats, because someone will come after you for everything you own for these particular reasons? So yeah, we hate insurance. We hate paying for stuff like that until you need it, until you're like, oh my gosh, I have this policy. And now I'm, you know, somewhat protected or whatever. So in the event of such of a nightmare, which on Amazon happens a lot now, and the reason they're doing this is because they're tired of getting sued for every product that it causes a problem on Amazon that they don't manufacture. So fair enough for them to be able to pass the buck accordingly. So get your insurance, upload it, do what you have to do, even if it's the minimums. And yeah, it stinks, but it's part of business. Every business needs to have insurance for one reason or another. And you're welcome. That's just part of it.
Okay. Sadly live in a litigious society.
Yeah, it is crazy. Okay, speaking of that, let's talk about legislation, right? So for all of you guys who have been either A, living with your head in the sand, or B, just having a great summer and not thinking about what's going on at Amazon, there has been a new law, a new bill introduced to Congress that talks about the antitrust issues that Amazon is facing and other third party or other big companies that fall within their guidelines. Walmart is one of these. Anyone that has three third party sellers that also sell their own products is my understanding, because there's this competing thing going on. I read the bill in full because I wanted to understand exactly what was happening and what could potentially become a law, and then Amazon would have to comply. So I'm giving a summary here, and of course you can fill in the gaps for me, but the summary here is, like, if this law passes, it would prevent Amazon from competing directly with products side by side with third party products. So basically it would help us as sellers in the sense that, like, Amazon's not going to take our wonderful product and knock it off and then peddle that to everybody out there in your place. They will no longer be allowed to have a competitive advantage, which they already do. So that's good news, but the bad news is if this law does pass, Amazon could say, well, since I can't compete with my third-party sellers anymore, we'll just push them over to a different platform and I'll own Amazon and they'll own this other thing. And then we won't be directly competing, but then our third-party sellers aren't going to get the same benefits that we have now. So this is kind of a nightmare and kind of a big deal, but it's also a if, when, how, what. So what are your thoughts on this crazy new bill that's coming down the pipeline?
Amazon has already essentially said that they would shut down the third-party marketplace if it's bad. They are trying to rally sellers to reach out to their congressmen about this possible. Reading the bill, it's a lot like reading the legislation proposed in California a couple of years ago regarding a suspension. It's really clear the authors of the bill have no idea what they're talking about. They do not understand the third-party marketplace. They don't understand how it works. I would argue, and this gets me into trouble and people really don't like when I say it, Amazon's not a monopoly. Grow up. It's not a monopoly. You can buy all the products on Amazon going down to your local Walmart and Target. it is not a monopoly. They have like 40% of market share online, allegedly, by some measures. Other measures say they have 20%. But online sales in the United States are still like 13 to 17%, depending on how you measure them, of all retail sales. So how can something that's a portion of 13% be a monopoly? It's ridiculous. Now, if you want to talk about antitrust, there are some antitrust violations that I would argue you could prosecute Amazon for right this state law. You do not need a new bill to pursue Amazon from an antitrust perspective. I think all these Congress people who proposed this legislation about a system they do not even understand. They just want to take a shot at the big boys so they look like Jack the Giant Killer, so they can be super cool and they can go out and do press releases. And they have no comprehension of the jobs, potentially destroying billions of jobs they could destroy by doing this. Also, what's particularly stupid, sorry, you're getting my real opinion here.
No, I want it. I'm all in it because it's all speculation at this point of what we think or what could happen. And so having multiple perspectives is really important. I love it. I love seeing you getting passionate and heated because I do too. When there's something like this that happens, I'm just like, what do we need to do as sellers? We don't sit back and just wonder who, what, when, where, why, and how. We need to be proactive about what's going on here because let's be real. Both of us, our businesses rise and fall on Amazon, not just our Amazon stores, but also here at the Amazon Files and Mommy Income and at Riverbend. That's all you guys are doing. I'm not all you guys are doing, but you know what I mean? That's like the lion's share of these businesses. So this is really important stuff. And we need to be aware and proactive about what we support and don't support in our Congress because it affects your bottom line. I mean, someone told you that if a law passes, it's basically going to eradicate your entire career. Your entire industry, what would you do about it? You would probably run to Capitol Hill. You would be writing letters to Congress. You would be standing up and advocating for not only yourself, but 3.5 million small business owners would just disappear. And you can't run to Walmart and go on their third party sellers either because they're part of this bill. It's any company that has third party sellers that also sells their own product and have these competitive kind of advantages, whatever they are. So whether or not Amazon's a monopoly or not, statistically, numbers wise, we can all be real and fair to say that, like, if I ask anybody here where they're going to go shop at this point, if I say, what are you looking for? The first place they go is, I'm looking on Amazon. Why? Because it's easy and convenient and often a really great price and the delivery. So why not use Amazon? So they are definitely an online kind of monopoly, if you will, but retail wise, you can also walk down to Target, Walgreens, any other place you want to in this universe and buy what you need. So,
yes. And what is particularly stupid, this would make Amazon a monopoly because what Amazon would do is all these third party sellers wouldn't have access to the third party marketplace. They would all be desperate because they have all this money they've invested in product and they have all this staff and mouths to feed. So they would go submit to the Amazon 1P beast. They would all sign up to be vendors on Amazon, and then Amazon would have full control over the brands, the pricing, the selection, the delivery time, how much they're going to pay the vendors. They would absolutely control everything. As third-party sellers, you have some control over, well, which we could talk about that further because they're trying to take away control over pricing, but you have control over your pricing, your selection. You are not beholden to Amazon for what you offer and how. You can go out and develop a new product and put it on Amazon. You don't have to crawl to Amazon and get them to buy it. You're using them as a platform, a conduit to go direct to the consumer without having to build your own website and spend God knows what on marketing to try and get people to that website. So by doing this, they would actually create a bigger monster in Amazon instead of doing some magical thing to break it up. They're saying, oh, this will help small business. They would destroy millions of small businesses, hurt the economy. They would hurt availability to products for consumers. Prices could very easily go up instead of down. The level of stupidity on this is just mind-boggling. And the reason I find it so frustrating is because there is legislation in place right now that all of the issues that they have with Amazon could be addressed under that legislation. There are laws in place about anti-competitive behavior. I can sit here and name 10 things Amazon does that's anti-competitive. Don't get me wrong. I am no defender of Amazon. We have every single day
And I can tell you stories that would stand your hair on end where they were doing things that I believe were illegal. And right now they have something going on internally that they have employees doing something that is illegal that I'm intimately familiar with. But all of that could be dealt with existing law right now. It does not require new legislation that is going to hurt millions of small business people. It's absurd. And it's not even, like you said, it affects Walmart. It affects any marketplace where there are products sold by the owner of the marketplace. And so it's not like we can all just flee over to Walmart and live a happy life. That's not how this goes. I get very frustrated when people in Washington go into subject matter where they have no clue what they're talking about. Selling on Amazon, selling on marketplace, it is intricate and detailed. And there are so many different inputs and so many things that people have to do every day. And these guys have no clue what they're talking about. And they think they're going to make it better for small business. Oh, I've got millions of people to tell them no.
Well, I love and appreciate your perspective. And actually, I've learned some things from this too, because when I first read this bill, at first I was like, yes, like this needs to pass because of this and this. And then the further I got down to reading some of the nitty gritty, I thought, you know what Amazon's going to do? What I would do if I was Amazon after reading this bill, I would say, okay, yeah, third party sellers, I don't need you anymore. I've got enough infrastructure. I've got enough supplies. I got enough things to where I'll just take over retail myself globally. And we as a company of Amazon will literally then monopolize everything. They don't need my third party because they already have all of our information anyways. So yep. They could literally eradicate us as third party sellers and just take over the entire online retail world. Like you said, creating a bigger monster. And that's the problem that I saw. And I thought, this is a nightmare if this really happens. And so this is why we have to be advocates for our own selves and to have this education. Like, this is not obviously a political conversation, but we have to have a political conversation because it affects that. No matter what side of the fence you're on, this directly has to do with our businesses, our money, our lives, our everything. And there's people making decisions on our behalf that have no freaking idea what we do every single day and what this intricate system is. So I think that's one of the things that people need to be aware of is that, yes, we, you know, leading into some of the other things we're going to talk about today. And this is the reason why I think Congress, the people that don't really know what we're doing, but understand that there's bigger problems with billion-dollar corporations, is that the problem mainly with Amazon is not necessarily these anti-competitive things, which I know is hurting us. And we could, you know, have a whole other episode about that. But the thing is that there's no checks and balances with Amazon. Like in our government, if this branch doesn't do what this branch is supposed to do, there's this checks and balances system that we can go through. With Amazon, if they, like one of the problems, you know, that we're going to talk about in a minute is this whole inventory reconciliation issues and how they are losing things. And then they say, okay, you can reconcile the shipment in 30 days and we've lost 512 of your units. And then 30 days passes and they're like, just kidding. 30 more days before you can reconcile this. And pretty soon it's been 3 months. And then they ask you for invoices to prove that you have sent this inventory in and they won't accept them because they're after the 90-day mark, which they created for themselves. And now they own 512 of your pieces of inventory and there's no recourse. There's no, okay, now I'm going to sue you because I have 3 months of lost sales plus all of this inventory loss that you lost. And I have no way to, you know, you're regulating yourself. And so when you're regulating yourself, there's no accountability. And I think that's what third-party sellers really want is accountability for Amazon. They don't want us to just go away or for them not to even compete against us. What we want is accountability for when things like this happen and we have nothing, that there's nothing we can do about it.
Absolutely agreed. And I think Amazon has created some of this problem for itself because especially in the last 12 months, they've had a lot of turnover in the high levels of people who believe in the third-party program and people who seem to understand that if you want to keep the government out of your business, you have to run your business with integrity and in a way that you are showing that you have accountability. If you don't do that, you are asking for regulation. If you're doing stupid things like telling third-party sellers how to price their products, which is price fixing, which is illegal, then you're asking for regulation. If you refuse to return people's funds and drag it out for months and months, say, oh yeah, we know we owe you that. And then you don't give it to them. You're asking for regulation. And of course, the one you mentioned earlier, which is one of the most just, Jeff Bezos got up in front of Congress and said, we have policy internally. We're not supposed to use third-party seller data. And then he's confronted with these audits where it shows that they're using third-party seller data. They don't do anything about it. A lot of this is a structural problem at Amazon. People think of Amazon on purpose being bad guys and that they're out to get you. Now, in a few cases, I think they are out to get you. But a lot of times, they have these structural issues because they tried to build their company on this entrepreneurial model where everyone's expected to be entrepreneurial and they're very siloed and you're supposed to have expertise in this area and you're supposed to do these great things. In doing that, they've lost sight of the big picture of if we treat sellers better, we have better internal systems for reconciliation. We have better internal systems for lost inventory. We make sure that we're not using third-party data. We actually punish people, fire them, and make an example of them so that it will stop. If they were more aggressive on that kind of stuff because they aren't so siloed, then we wouldn't even be talking about legislation probably. A lot of people would have gone away, but there will always be politicians out there who they just want to stand on someone's body and say, I killed this giant. That's what they want, right? Because they think it makes them look special. And in this case, a bipartisan bill. This is both sides of the idiotic aisle who think they know our business better than we. I would argue there need to be some serious come to Jesus, Allah, Muhammad, pick your deity meeting at Amazon about, you know, how we and treat people more fairly. I don't think that's ever going to happen. And as long as they have it and continue to people and think they can get away with whatever they want to, they're just asking for bills like this to pass. And then I don't know where that leaves. I don't even know where that leaves them. What's really sad is that I know where it leaves the American public. It will stifle innovation in a way that people do not even comprehend. So many new products are built on Amazon. They are Amazon only. It is like an incubator where you can build a brand, you can test things, see what works, you can innovate, you can small batches, you can manufacture small batches, have special products. Go down to your grocery store or your Walmart or your Target. And if you want to buy a bunch of crayons, look and see how many brands there are. There's probably types of crayons. If you go on Amazon and look for crayons, there's a bunch of brands of crayons, including ones that are made from soy and beeswax and environmentally friendly and ones that have scents and all these things. Well, that's going to go away. How are you possibly going to sell and market that if you don't have access to large markets?
I 100% agree. And I really think that that's why this is such a scary thing, because of the people that are making the decisions that don't understand from day to day that each week and month, me and hundreds of my clients even are innovating new products as far as putting different things out there, bundling products together of things that people want already, different brands that maybe people haven't heard of, and how many small businesses and households are being upheld by Amazon because of the structure of that they already have and what that could do for some of these businesses in an instant. And I think they don't even really think about the fact that even a modest seller who is, you know, selling, you know, $500,000 a year, they're still making a decent living from home doing what they do. And there's tons of reasons why this needs to exist, because there's just not ways to get the little guy to get their products into stores like, you know, Walmart or Target or anything like that. I mean, what if you did have your smelly crayons that you wanted to put out there and you wanted to be beeswax, soy, organic, whatever they are, and Target doesn't have the real estate for you. They don't have another slot on their shelf to put 50 brands of crayon. That's why we have these online marketplaces. And you know, a lot of people are, you know, I've heard people that don't understand Amazon and conversations I've had recently where people are like, well, why can't you just, I mean, don't you have a Shopify store? Why can't you just sell on your own Shopify store? I'm like, okay, I'm going to give you some data, right? We launched a really amazing product. We have a website, we have a Shopify store, and we also have our product on Amazon. We launched them both at the very same time, the website and Amazon. And right now we're getting 10 to 15 sales a week on Amazon consistently with both variations. We've sold 3 total on our website since January. It is now end of September. So you tell me how I can get sales there. Now, if I spent my entire budget on marketing and all this other stuff, I might be able to get a few more sales on my website. But let's be real. When people hear of a product, the first place they go is, oh, I'm going to put it in my Amazon cart or on my wish list to buy or whatever else. They're not thinking about your website. They don't care about your website. They care about fast, easy, convenient that Amazon offers. And so I think people out there that don't understand e-commerce and don't understand Amazon realize that if you're not there, you're losing already. So how do we get everyone to play fair? Well, you know, a lot of advocates, a lot of people need to stand up and talk about it and get their congressmen and women to understand the impact of what could happen if this comes to the table.
Oh, it would be absolutely devastating, not just to do what we do. It would be devastating to the economy.
Absolutely.
And it would create super brands once again. So when we were growing up back in the Stone Age, you would go to the Safeway or the Publix or wherever with your mom, and there would be super brands, right? If you wanted canned vegetables back in the day, it was a little Del Monte and then store brand. And that was pretty much it, right? Or, you know, you get your Hy-Vee, which is your local or whatever it is. All it would do is put all of the power back into the hands of massive businesses that can afford massive dollar ad campaigns. It would take all of the power away from startups, small businesses, and venture fund backed businesses that develop new products. I'll give you a perfect example. There's a really great brand of keto cookie on Amazon. And they started on Amazon. Then eventually they rolled out to Target. Now they're in a few other places. They never could have taken their keto cookie and just started up their own website, which they do have a website with a Shopify store and they do sell direct. They never could have started that up and gotten enough name recognition on their own website because they didn't have like, what, $25 million to market their keto cookie against Oreo. And because you're not just going to get keto cookies, you're going to get all cookies. So, you know, Oreo and all the Nabisco things out there and all the Keebler options. And then there's all of the keto options. There's no way they could have ever done that. Now they have this great business where they're in lots of but it never would have happened. And there are a lot of consumers who love that brand. So what are you going to say? None of us ever get to have those brands anymore. We just have to stick with the big companies. You're in Duracell now, ever. Yeah. The only battery you ever get to have. There's never going to be a better battery. You just can't. How many clothes do you buy? So many people I know now buy clothes on Amazon that are like no-name brands. All that's gone.
Oh, and it also kills the structure of Amazon because they thrive on this variety of we are the everything store. We have everything that you need. And there's rarely a time you can go to Amazon and find that super special, I don't know, the one spice that you never have when you're following a Pinterest recipe that's literally like, you need a quarter teaspoon of this thing. And it's that never ever happened. Like, but on Amazon, they have it because somebody out there, one somebody like us, third-party seller, decided that this needs to be on Amazon for whatever reason. So yes, this is a big deal. And this is something that everyone needs to pay attention to. And if you want to still sell on Amazon and do all these things, you need to be able to fill out that form that's on, it's in your Amazon news. So if you go to your Seller Central dashboard and then you go to news, if you scroll down a little bit, it was about mid-August or maybe late August where they put this thing about legislation and whatever. And then there's steps to follow to contact your congresspeople to do all these things. Because if you don't, and this bill does go through, the chances of us having a third-party platform at all is slim to none. I don't see Amazon being really charitable and deciding, we'll stop selling stuff ourselves and we'll just focus on these third-party sellers. You really think they're going to care? Probably not.
They've invested too much. They've invested in all of their products as well. They've invested quite a bit. They've invested in building out their 1P network. I mean, would they have to give up all of their 1P? You can make an argument current legislation that a lot of people, they would have to give up as well, not just their own Amazon products, but there's a lot more that they would have to give up. It really makes absolutely no sense. And then us as consumers, you can say goodbye to generic replacement parts or anything in your house, like your vacuum cleaner or your refrigerator. You know, the generic filters, all those are going to go away. You're going to be buying from the brand of paint twice. There's just so much that would go away because without platforms like Amazon and Walmart, the tiny companies that make all of this cannot.
Oh, this is such a big deal, you guys. And this is why we are going to, in the show notes of this show, put a link to, you might have to be logged into Seller Central in order to access this link because it is directly within Amazon, but we'll put the link in here to be able to see what you guys can do to do that. This is from different perspectives and understandings that the bill is complicated, but if you don't understand what we just talked about, you might think it's a great idea and something that you would want it to pass. The reality is that Amazon is not going to choose us over their own business, because why would they? I mean, they're not about us. They're about their bottom line. They're a company in business to do profit, and they have millions of staff and people and things to support. And they're not going to just decide to find it in their heart to get rid of all that just for us. Unfortunately, business doesn't work that way. So if you don't want to be left in the dust and figuring out what you're going to do, you definitely need to take some action on these pieces and figure out what's going to be a best for your business. And maybe that is reaching out to your legislation and letting them know. You know, feel free to quote this, so send them this podcast link. I mean, I'm happy to talk to Congress people if I need to be like, okay, this is our perspective. And, you know, let's see what we can do to work together, because these are things that greatly impact not just us, but our global economy. Everybody's relying on Amazon lately, especially with the pandemic and everything else. I mean, that's the number one place people turn to. So, all right, we can let that one go now, just knowing that we stood on our soapbox for a minute. Right. And we're just going to, okay, let's move on to some other problems. You're such a trooper. I know that like a lot of times it's all these like negative, bad things, but you know, we all have to be able to deal with this in our business in order to—
What we do all day long.
Right.
All good.
Just another day at the office, right? Okay. So another question someone had, and let's go over this again, is can you, as a brand, you know, as we're building our bundle brands and we're trying to let everybody know kind of what we have out there, someone recently asked about including printed material inside of your packaging for your bundle brand. So Kristen's favorite things, I send this beautiful spa gift set to, you know, whoever, and inside of the box, can I have something that says, thank you for your purchase, you know, to leave a review, go here, or here's a QR code you can scan to visit our other products. Is this allowed and acceptable?
Okay. So it depends. Mm-hmm. Like everything at Amazon, it depends. You have to be super careful. So can you flat out just say, leave a review? Yes, you can. Can you say, here's a QR code to see our other products on Amazon? Yes, you can. So like, if you want to point them to your Amazon storefront, absolutely, you can do that. That is totally cool to do. It's a great idea. Love it. Cannot direct them off the platform. You cannot direct them to your Shopify store, to your website, to your customer service person, none of that. You cannot say, if you love the product, please give us a review. If you don't like the product, contact us here. That is cherry picking. You cannot do that either. What you really, 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 really don't want to do is offer any kind of an incentive for a review, or say something like, oh gosh, I had one client, Amazon went after them because they've said Amazon only offers a 30-day money-back guarantee, but we don't think that's good enough. That was their mistake.
Yeah.
So we will give you a 90-day blah, 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 blah. And they gave their website. Amazon did not like that at all.
What about the ones that say things like, because I've received in the past, like I just recently, I threw it away, but I really should have. I should have showed it to you. It basically was like, do you want a $5 Amazon gift card? Scan this QR code to leave a review. And once you do that, you know, enter this code and you get this free $5 gift card. And then another one I found, it's this big yellow postcard, but it says, wait, warning, if you have problems with the product, please contact us directly. Do not send this back to Amazon. Contact us. We will make it right. And so is that acceptable or allowed when it comes to refunds or returns or warranties or any of that?
So Amazon doesn't like that because you're directing them away from the platform. Their assumption is that you are trying to make that customer your customer. So they spend all the money. So this is kind of relevant to what we were just talking about. They spend all the money building this platform. They spend all the money on the advertising. These are their customers. They're not your customers. They're Amazon's customers. And so they assume that you're directing them away so that then you can say, hey, come directly to my website in the future and buy the product and you know I'll take care of you. So anything where you're directing away to you, they do not like. Now, as far as the offers of things like gift cards, you know, those are all totally out of bounds. And here's why you really, really, really don't want to do it. They've actually started doing bin checks in the warehouse looking for this kind of stuff. They're opening up product. They're looking for the cards. They have not done that before. This is relatively new. I still do not have a full sense of if there's some kind of an investigation going on that then they ask for a bin check from FBA, or if FBA has a new initiative where they're doing these. I'm not sure. But I can tell you that when they find them and you get suspended, or you get the 72-hour, give us a POA in 72 hours or we'll shut you down. As part of the POA, you have to remove all that in. So if you've sent 2,000 units and they all have one of those freaking cards, got a $5 gift card in that, you're going to have to pay Amazon to call back to you and write a plan of action to let you back on the platform. And then, as most of y'all already know, platform manipulation is kind of a two strikes you're out thing. So if you get caught twice for platform manipulation, your chances of getting reinstated are...
The best way for you guys to own your own customers in this way is provide a phenomenal product and customer experience, and people will look you up and they will find you and they will want to find you other places. If you hear of a product or a brand or something like that you bought on Amazon and you absolutely just love them, support them off of Amazon then if you want to. But like, you can't go fishing for that because it's not your playground. It's not your pond. And so unfortunately, Amazon does not want you to be able to do that. You cannot lead them away from Amazon. You don't own your customers. You cannot get their information, any of this stuff. So just don't. Provide an amazing product, provide an amazing brand regardless. Like with our bundle brands, people are asking, what is allowed on the printed packaging? And this is another question we had about packaging that then has your website printed on it. So I am the manufacturer of said item. Let me just pull one up. So this is mine. My 15-minute hustle chart, Mommy Income, right here, says right on the product.com, right? So if someone wants to order this wonderful thing off of Amazon, which we actually do not have for sale there, it's on the website. But regardless, you get this. And then at this point, you have a great product. It's on the product. So it's not like an extra insert that we're putting in there somewhere. Or people have their custom packaging that's like, okay, here's just the silly representation. This is a box of Kleenex. And this was sold at Costco, so it does not have a barcode individual. But sometimes on here, it'll say like Kleenex box, whatever it says, you know, the dimensions, things like that. Now, sometimes they'll say manufactured in, you know, made in China. There's some sort of, you know, what do they need to put on the box? Can they put their .com on their custom printed packaging?
Yes, as long as it's really clear it's part of your branding. So like if you have the little section where it says manufactured by, manufactured in, it has your address, usually as kind of a registered address. And then if it has a website under that, yeah, because you're the manufacturer. I mean, Oreo.com is probably on every package of Oreos, right?
Right.
I don't know what my thing is with Oreos today, you know. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure I have plenty of products like sitting around right here that it's got the website as part of their registered address, which usually, you know, most manufacturing, you should have a registered address on the product. Mm-hmm. Now, if you've got it like splashed across and there's nothing else and there's no brand name and it doesn't look like it's a part of anything, you're kind of asking.
Yeah. So that was just something people were asking is just like, what about if it's printed on your custom packaging? Well, that's part of it. Because if you see products all over, you go to any store right now, you flip over a package and you look for the barcode and you look for all this information, that's the information people are going to see and find. And I would say a majority of those companies have some sort of .com on them to reach out, whether it's customer service, whether it's this or that, for questions or inquiries, you know, right. Visit this .com. Okay, great. So that's actually printed on your packaging. It's not printed on a sticker that you stick on. It's printed on your packaging, your entire professional packaging. And I feel like that's acceptable, but that's about the only means of acceptable .coms that you can lead people to.
Because you can definitely make the argument, you would use the exact same packaging if you were selling direct to a retail store.
Right.
So ask yourself, is this exactly how it would go if I was putting it in my local Walmart, you know, and if it's part of that packaging where it makes sense, you're probably fine.
Okay. Well, thanks for clearing that up, because I know a lot of people, they're just trying so desperately to just get more reviews or get
right
things because the Amazon algorithm favors reviews and favors all these different things. It's like, well, how does somebody new and up and coming get, you know, this thing else? Another thing I wanted to know is that, do you have experience at all with Amazon Vine? And what they, I know you're laughing already. Me too. Because people have been asking me about Amazon Vine and their participation in this sort of thing. So this is Amazon. For you guys that don't know, Amazon has their own review program to where you can enter your ASINs into this review program. And then they will give away your product for free for these people in exchange for a fair review, and it's Amazon verified. And so they get a free product and then they get to leave a review. And these are top Amazon respected reviewers. So because it's their system, they're allowed to.
If they do it.
Yes, it's okay if they do it. It's not okay if you pay people to do it or give away free product in exchange for that, but they're allowed to. But what hesitated me to enroll said brand or said product in that is that they're actually not obligated to leave a review at all. It's just a, you can get a free product. And if you feel like leaving a review, you can. They're strongly advised to leave a review, but they don't have to. So how does that benefit anyone except for the person getting the free products?
So they recently increased the price of buying. They might have even doubled it. So it's more expensive than it used to be. However, most of the people I know who've used Vine, the people who actually review the products.
Well, that's good to know. I was stopped short of the fact that it said that they weren't obligated. So I could literally give up to 30 products away for free and receive zero reviews.
Right. Because if they don't do the reviewing, then they fall down. You know, everything's a metric, right? It's Amazon. Mm-hmm. They fall down the list of reviewers. And so they stop getting the products. They stop sending stuff. So they won't get the stuff. And it's pretty.
Yeah, that's interesting. So have you had anybody have some good experiences with this said review program? And it, you know, depending on what it's worth and what it's worth to the people submitting. I mean, I have a really expensive product that is our private label product. And so getting the reviews on those and getting, you know, it's a harder sell to sell something that's over $100 to people who've never heard of it. So reviews are everything. And I was considering that, but I thought, oh my gosh, like at the cost of goods, like how much does it really cost to have all these reviews done if they get this product and they review it and all that kind of stuff? So it seems to be kind of scary at the same time.
Right. And part of it is figuring out what kind of impact it's going to have. So a little bit counter to what might seem like common sense, if your product is very and you don't have as much competition in the category, the reviews on Vine actually make more sense because they're going to have more of an impact. Whereas if there's already three or four competitors that have thousands of reviews, your two or three Vine reviews aren't really going to get you much. So you need to do something else instead of spending the hundreds of dollars on the Vine review plus the hundreds of dollars on the product, right? So if you can say that you're relatively, I think it actually makes more sense. Also, there is kind of a follower thing on Amazon with reviews, just everything else in life, right? Sometimes it takes a few to get other people to do it. If there is a product that has billions of reviews, people stop reviewing it because they think their review doesn't make a difference, right? So if something has 3,500 reviews, people don't even bother unless they're really mad. But if something has two or three reviews, then they feel like they can make an impact. And so they're more likely to actually give you a review. So sometimes I think if you want to try and see if there's an unlocking effect, if you got a few reviews through Vine and it helped you out, that's smart. But it's like a slot machine. You have to set your budget before you start doing it or you'll get to keep it
more. I'm always scared to fish for reviews because you have to take what you can get. And sometimes it's bad. And then you're like, that could really hurt you, especially if you only have three reviews and they get two bad ones. Now you're really up the creek because your listing will never be shown to anybody anymore. So it's just like kind of take the good with the bad and hope that if you have a really awesome product, then it's one of those things where you want to get those reviews and it could help you or it could hurt you. So, all right. So one of the last things I want to talk about, I won't hold you up any longer, is back to Seller Central, seller support with all of these issues. We talked earlier about the reconciliation of issues and how they keep kicking the can down the road and things like that. Is there any alternative to these things, alternative ways to get in contact with them, alternative ways to get heard? Because even I was telling you off air, 156 correspondents for the same case or the same set of cases over the course of 2 weeks or so of this one particular ASIN that's this back and forth and not getting any answers, any responses from any team. Is there a way to get to somebody who can really understand our problems?
So there are a couple of different things that really depends on what the issue is. If it is a seller performance oriented issue, like an ASIN that's been suspended, something that where they've told you they want invoices and they're rejecting along those lines, do try to contact account health. There is a button where you can contact account health in your account health dashboard and performance. And, you know, it's just like every other department in Amazon. So an account health, they're super helpful. Not but it's click to call. So you click and wait and they call. A lot of times we have issues that have been resolved by account help. So for example, you've sent the same invoice at date time. They are valid invoices. You've shown proof of payment. It all matches everything that's in your seller central. There's no reason they should be rejected. Sometimes account help will tell you, oh, we're rejecting this because they'll see the notes and they'll tell you. Or they'll say, I don't see a reason for this. Let me resubmit. And I'm all of a sudden it's magically fixed. They'll kind of escalate. So that can be helpful. I think we've talked before about the captive. The captive team is really great for FBA related issues, especially things around like reimbursements where you're just getting messed around over and over again. Unfortunately, on that moving the date out thing, that's all automated right now. So there's no magic to fix that. But on other issues with like stranded inventory where they need to refresh a listing and no one's paying attention, or you've submitted the invoices 10 times on the FBA and they're still not reimbursed. So yeah, the captive team is pretty good on those things. Also, earlier you'd mentioned, does Jeff work anymore because Jeff isn't there? So this is a lot of people for years have used the jeff@amazon.com email address. And so Jeff would essentially take a handful of these emails each day and look at them. And then the rest would be looked at by a team of people. And there's two teams. There's one on the customer side and there's one on the seller side. So I have good news. That email address is being answered. And it is actually being answered by executive seller relations. And we're actually getting some pretty rapid answers right now from the executive seller relations team through the jeff@amazon.com email. I don't think they're going to turn that off anytime soon because I think it would be bad luck. I think if he had died in a fiery crash in the Blue Origin spaceship, they would still have that email address on because it would be a bad look to turn it off. So right now, sellers, that is still a great way to get someone to pay attention. In fact, it might even be better than it was before because it's not being held up in this dual queue. It's going straight to executive seller relations.
Awesome. That's great to know. As far as the reconciliation and things like that, the canned email responses, the responses with that, I'm going to do the Jeff at Amazon at this point because after 156 correspondents and no real answer, they're asking me to do something that's actually impossible, which is, and actually against their policy. They're like, you cannot reach out to another seller, a competitive seller, or somebody else and ask for these things to be done. That's actually against their terms of service. Yet they're telling me to do so in order to resolve a problem that I know they can fix in a minute. And so after all these back and forths, and a lot of people have been struggling with these types of things, how to contact them. Now, let's talk about the captives for just one second, because I've had two clients last week alone. They were on the phone with seller support and they asked for someone in the captive team and they told them, no, there is no captive team. There's nobody else. There isn't a manager. I'm basically the only person you can talk to. There isn't a captive you can speak to. They're going to give you the same answer I'm giving you. And so how do we respond to that? Because that's been happening lately as well.
Yeah, there is a captive team. They have been told to do anything that they can to not escalate issues because they're understaffed and they're undertrained. So this is another one of those things that it's going to sound totally contrary to what everyone has ever told you, because people always tell you, get on the phone with them. You're going to have better results than if you try emailing. The last few times I've had problems with this, I've actually emailed back. So I always state, number one, you told me to do this. Number two, I have already done that three times. Number three, I did it again and it still didn't work. Number four, I need this escalated to the captive team. And then they will come back to you again and say the same thing again. And then you say, clearly you do not understand the problem. I need this escalated to the captive team. And after asking for captive two to three times by email, I actually get the captive team. But you have to be polite. You can't start yelling. You can email, they can tell. But what's really important is to say, this is the problem. I have already done A, B, C, X, Y, and Z. You told me to do those things. Again, I've already done them. Please escalate to the captive. I need more help. So it's super important that you show, according to their escalation protocol, that you've already done all the things. Because they always assume it's user error.
Yeah. And you know what? Let's be real. I bet a lot of it is user error because people just don't know what to do. And I understand that as well. Being in customer service ourselves and understanding all this, yeah, there's a lot of user error that can go on. But when people have real problems and need real help, this is the kind of language that we need to use. So you guys go back, listen to that, write that stuff down, escalating it. I tried both email and phone and all the stuff. And even on the phone, they said, okay, well, I can't handle your questions, but I'm going to email the proper team. And then after I get off the phone 15 minutes later, I get of this email that's exactly the same as the one I got before, unless like I wasn't on the phone with them for an hour. And it's really, really frustrating. And these are things that are sending people off of Amazon already going, this is just not worth it. And, you know, they end up going and working at Starbucks or something. I mean, I'm not against that. I'm just saying that like, don't give up so soon. But at the same time, we need to be able to be proactive about these things. Maybe it's hiring a VA to be able to handle just your cases like this, to keep them open and keep them going, create some templates and keep moving forward with it. Because to be real, like this is part of what we're doing in business is putting out fires all the time of like all the different stuff that Amazon's not complying in their own policies. So just hang in there because they are understaffed as well. And so that's why we're getting way more canned emails than we were before, if that's even a possibility. But it's true, and hanging in there as well. And Leslie, thank you so much for being here. You said you have one more thing.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I think some of the most frustrating words in the English language are, I have forwarded your request to the concerned team. And if I, you know, you're like, if I see that one more time.
Yes.
Concerned team.
I know. And they're so vague about, especially with invoices or even people sending the COIs of insurance and whatever else. It's like, this is rejected, but then they don't tell you why. It's like, right. We're supposed to figure out this crazy mystery. Yeah. It's just like, okay, let's see how long. It's almost like they're waiting for us to just give up and quit because, you know, all of this stuff. And I have no patience or grace, it seems, for Amazon at this point, not because they're customer service, because they don't train them well enough. And then they turn over so fast because they're not meeting their quotas and blah, blah, blah. It's like, this is obviously a leadership problem. But if, you know, things like that, we just have to deal with what we have to deal with. So you have given us tons of things, not only to take action on, but also to be aware of. And it's so invaluable. Tell everybody what you do at Riverbend, what your team does, and how they can get connected. I am a personal customer of Riverbend. They handle my account management and those things and reimbursements and all that good stuff. And I fully and 100% trust them and their integrity and all of the great things they have. And so that is why you see Leslie's wonderful face on here every few months. And so tell us a little bit more about Riverbend and how people can get started with you guys.
Absolutely. So Riverbend is just now 4 years old, and our bread and butter is account suspensions and ASIN reinstatements as well. So when you get just a product knocked off, we can help with that. We have some people who are on a monthly plan if you're a larger seller and these things happen to you a lot, that we will just automatically monitor your account and take care of ASIN go down. We also can help with account management in terms of like customer service messages, reimbursements, all that good stuff. And then we have some exciting. So we help people get editorial recommendations, which is that magic editorial recommendation banner across one of the pages of search. It helps get in. We do the best product videos for Amazon in the marketplace. I'm telling you, it's amazing. And then an exciting thing for private label people is that we have Project Retail, where we will help you get your products that are Amazon only into retail. So you can buy that. Yeah. You can find out more about any of these at riverbend.com. And then you can also head on over to LinkedIn and send me a connection request. I post Amazon-specific content every weekday.
Yes, that LinkedIn is fantastic and always stuff that's in the know, you guys, even if you're not on LinkedIn. Which, why? Because there's so much good stuff there that's like not as, I don't know. I like LinkedIn better than some other social channels. I don't even think of it as social, even though it is. Right. But I do love LinkedIn because it's really just some informative, good stuff. There's lots of articles. Leslie's always bringing the truth because she doesn't care about if people like her or not. She cares about the truth. She cares about the integrity of business and cares about those types of things. So it's not a popularity contest. It's a let's get stuff done and let's get this done in the good and right way so that we all can continue living our best lives. So,
And Kristen, you're fired today.
Well, that's just how I see it. That's just why I see it and some of these things, because really, you know, especially with these types of things, like people don't have to like me. They don't have to like what I have to say. It's just the truth, you know, take it or leave it. I'm not sugarcoating, and I align with people that are very similar in that way. And just a lot of the things we talk about are unpopular. You know, it's just like not something that we want to, you know, discuss. We want to talk about product launches and this and that. Yeah, that's great. But let's talk about compliance and your bottom line and things that are affecting your money, because that's why you're in business, right? Because we're trying to make profit. And the more and more these companies try to get in our pockets, the more we need to make sure that we're doing all the right things to protect ourselves. So
this is why all these things are necessary. So you guys, riverbendconsulting.com is the place to go. I fully and highly recommend them and their team. I get these wonderful emails from them every month about all the reimbursements they've found for my account and all that happy stuff. So make sure that that's something you need or want to need, that Leslie is here for you. Everything will be in the show notes for you as well. And we will see you, Leslie, again next quarter to be able to talk about all the new updates then. So thank you so much for coming again. It's been a pleasure. And thank you for all you do.
Thank you so much, Kristen. That was fun as always.
Guys, same time, same place next week on the Amazon Files. Tune in and we'll be talking about other good, fun topics then too as well. We'll see you then.
Thank you for being a loyal listener. If you are ready to take your business to a whole new level, I'm ready to work with you. Visit mommyincome.com/coach to schedule your one-on-one call today. I'll be back next week with more strategies to help you succeed. Until then, step small and dream big.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Amazon Files podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to leave a review on iTunes by heading over to mommyincome.com/review. The Amazon Files will be back again next week. Thanks again for listening.